Dear founders and listeners, welcome to the second episode of Old Chang Chats, Chinese History and Tech Startups, where we draw lessons from history to chart our own future. Today, we'll continue to talk about startup team formation and what does it mean for talent management in a startup. I think one of the toughest problems for a startup or a startup founder is to evaluate whether a particular hire is a suitable talent. There are inherent limitations to an interview because you cannot find out a lot of things from an interview. And most importantly, people can prepare for interviews. They can adopt a different persona, or they can speak in a language that they want the startup founder to know. As such, modern corporate practice has developed a lot of proxy indicators to suggest who is a talent and who is capable. And two of these most important proxies are the brand name education and the brand name of the corporations that a particular candidate has joined. If one graduates from the Ivy League, graduates with an MBA, it typically suggests that a person is smart. If a person graduates from McKinsey, Goldman, BCG, etc., it will necessarily suggest that he is capable. But is it really true? The point I want to make in this second episode today is the following points. Number one, startup founders must know that talents comes in all shapes and sizes. Secondly, joining a startup is an extreme sport. The skill sets of getting into an Ivy League, getting a PhD, or getting into a prestigious firm only reveals technical competency. The skill sets required to get admitted in the above mentioned may not necessarily be relevant for the purposes of a startup. And third, founders must be clear on what kind of team they are trying to build. So today, once again, we'll go back to the Three Kingdoms period to talk about how Zhuge Liang misjudged his own protege, Ma Su, by sending him to defend an important city. As usual, I will eventually include some examples from startups in China to see what are some of these lessons to be drawn. So here goes. We go back 2,000 years ago into the Three Kingdoms period again. There are three main characters in the story for this episode. The first character is Zhuge Liang, the Prime Minister of the Shu Kingdom. The second person is Ma Su, spelled as M-A, which is the surname Ma, S-U, Ma Su, who is the general in charge of the particular battle. The third is Wang Ping, the deputy general. So just focus on these three main characters for this story. Ma Su has a reputation of being a genius. He's also known as Zhuge Liang's personal protege. He's said to be extremely well-read and he loves to discuss military strategies with Zhuge Liang. Zhuge Liang also holds Ma Su in extreme high regard, often bringing him along for all his military expeditions. Zhuge Liang always will seek Ma Su's opinion before making a decision. Technically speaking, before Zhuge Liang appoint him as general to fight his own battles, Ma Su has not been on his own before. He hasn't made decisions independently, and most of his views and discussions were mostly theoretical in nature. It is in this battle to defend the city called Jieting that Zhuge Liang has decided to let Ma Su show his talent. He sent Ma Su to defend Jieting, which is actually a very strategic location in between two competing kingdoms. Jieting is the midway which will allow enemy forces to penetrate nearer to the capital, Zhuge Liang's capital, if it's lost. As such, Zhuge Liang gave extremely strict instructions on how to conduct the battle. He told Ma Su and Wang Ping to set up camp at the foot of a mountain so that they can secure the water source for a long-drawn defense. However, Ma Su was eager to show his talent and disregarded the instructions when he reached Jieting. Instead of camping at the foot of the mountain, he moved the entire troop on top of the mountain, thinking that he can attack the enemy from above and secure a quick win. His deputy Wang Ping who is known to be a military man in his whole career, reminded Ma Su about Zhuge Liang's instructions. But it was quickly dismissed by Ma Su. Partly because Wang Ping's background as a military man, Ma Su thought he was intellectually superior and did not give too much weight for Wang Ping's reminder. He even retorted to Wang Ping to say that a general out in the field has moral authority to disregard advice given back from the capital. Consequently, Ma Su was defeated at Jieting and Zhuge Liang lost control of the city. This was a huge blow to Zhuge Liang, both for his moral legitimacy and his own evaluation of himself as a leader. Firstly, he was not able to clearly distinguish the true nature of Ma Su and has misread his character. And of course, the negative consequences brought about by Ma Su's defeat. So eventually, Ma Su was beheaded by Zhuge Liang, and Zhuge Liang recommended that he be demoted by 3 levels in order to be responsible for the defeat of Jieting. This is a famous story from the Three Kingdoms period, which deals with how supposedly perceptive individuals could make wrong judgments to a particular talent and include them for the wrong purposes. In short, a person may be placed in the wrong position or be mischaracterized as a talent. So coming back to today, in the modern startup context, there are many companies which pride themselves on the team members that they have, and they pride themselves on the brand name. They think they're elite because they only hire individuals with an Ivy League degree or are from certain prestigious firms, or they only recruit the senior management who were ex-government scholars. In this respect, a lot of startup hires with the above backgrounds may be like Ma Su, because firstly, they have not been on their own before and has not made decisions independently. Most of their views may only be theoretical in nature, that consists of theoretical frameworks, because they have not been on the battlefield before. Secondly, these individuals come from a background where the society tells them they are elite based on their academic achievements and the success of their job applications. This is again similar to Ma Su, because Ma Su has been well regarded by Zhuge Liang, and because he's able to quote from classics, military strategy books very readily, people tell Ma Su that he is a genius and he is a talent. But yet, Ma Su didn't have the opportunity to show his true worth in the form of a battle. Lastly, individuals of such background may be eager to show that they are good, and they often think they're intellectually superior. They tend to be able to work only if the company or the surrounding provide conditions of support that are conducive for them to perform, and that may not necessarily be present in a startup condition. So, I think China startup founders have a lot to say when it comes to situations like Ma Su, because Ma Su is a famous character in Chinese history. And China startup founders tend to have a tendency to prefer talents who have a bias for action and real-life experience, and would actually place the pedigree of the startup talent of a lower priority. Let's first talk about this person called Zhou Hongyi. Zhou Hongyi is the founder of this search engine company called 3721. Although the name 3721 doesn't make a lot of sense in English, but for those who know Chinese, 3721 means 三七二十一, 不管三七二十一. It is a search engine that prides itself to be quick in its search and provide relevant results. They sold the company to Yahoo China in 2004, and Zhou Hongyi started a new company, Qihu 360, Qihu 360, an antivirus company, where Zhou Hongyi got into a bitter and famous fight with Tencent's QQ in the late 2000s. So Zhou Hongyi said this before. after he sold 3721 to Yahoo. He felt that the professionals, those who come from Ivy Leagues and who got MBAs in Yahoo, were not startup or better really. He felt that a lot of them like to conduct meetings behind a laptop. They like to conduct discussions by using PowerPoints, by referring to analogies using frameworks, a lot of which didn't make sense to the team at 3721. Zhou Hongyi said, "We are startup people. We are here to fight and go into battles, not long-drawn discussions over boardroom meetings, hiding behind PowerPoints, dealing behind frameworks, which were not exactly relevant to the actual battle that we have." So this disagreement in style and his disagreement with the so-called talents he saw in Yahoo led him to leave to start Qihu 360. In fact, Jack Ma, Alibaba's Jack Ma, also recounted a similar experience. He said he actually felt he felt that he was drawn towards the Ivy Leagues and the MBA employees in the initial days of Alibaba because of his own background, and he felt that the Alibaba team required some professional experience. So he recruited a lot of Ivy Leagues and MBAs after he raised his first round of funding from Goldman and Masayoshi in 2000. However, the first experience, the first shock experience he got was when one of his marketing vice presidents gave him a proposal of around $2 million for a particular marketing campaign. He told him Alibaba only had a much smaller budget of less than probably $1 million. The senior vice president with a corporate background told him that he has done nothing of that scale with less than $2 million, and it was impossible to do so. Subsequently, when Alibaba went into a cash flow crisis in the late 2000s, and Zhou Cai recommended Jack Ma to shut down the Silicon Valley office, Jack Ma observed that most of the Ivy Leagues and the MBA employees actually took flight and departed the company very readily. And those who stayed on to fight were aligned with the company, and those who were aligned with the company were not the ones with the MBAs or the Ivy Leagues. So he concluded, it takes a special breed of individual to be able to withstand the ups and downs. And these are the people who should rightfully be rewarded when there's startup success. In Chinese, he said, 最下来跟我们扛着大刀打仗的人都不是MBA背景的那些人. In the Western world, Ben Horowitz also shared in the Hard Things About Hard Things that there will be a wartime CEO and there will be a peacetime CEO. What I'm trying to say here is this. There will also be a wartime team for a startup and a peacetime team for a startup. A startup, especially one in the early stage, is typically in war zone. And it is imperative that startup founders know which stage they are in and what kind of team and what kind of skill sets that they are looking for. So, some thoughts. I think the skill sets of getting into the best investment banks, consulting firms, or MBA programs may necessarily be different from joining a startup. As mentioned, a startup is an extreme sport, and talents come in all shapes and sizes. Real talent, as Jack Ma has shared before, comes with real experience and, if possible, real achievements, if not real failures. If they do not have any of the above, meaning real experience, real failures, or real achievements, they may not come with humility and the desired resourcefulness and hunger to make things happen. What a startup requires may not be a theory or a framework or a certificate, because most of the startup problems are chaotic and complex, whereby problems are filled with unknown unknowns. Therefore, to forcefully think of frameworks and to apply what one has learned in an MBA program may not necessarily work. Therefore, it requires a special skill set. So that was shared by Jack Ma. And from that, I think we can say that it takes a particular special type of personality for one to have failed to work with humility, to break out of the box, to have the resourcefulness and hunger to make things happen. It is easy to analyze and give justifications why something will not work. And there's a certain personality and a pride in individuals with the supposed elite background. They tend to be able to analyze well and to provide justifications. And such justifications often come when the going gets tough. It may be difficult for them to accept rolling their sleeves or to be branded as failures when the going gets tough in a startup, because it would necessarily require dirty work within a startup. So again, what kind of team do startup founders want to form? What stage are they in for the startup? Let's recap. A founder, especially an early stage founder, ought to recognize that talent comes in many forms, and it is important to distinguish whether a particular interviewee, based on what you see in the interview, is a masu or not a masu. Joining a startup is extreme. It takes a special type of personality, and it's important to focus on finding out the personality, especially in the early stage. Skill sets can be built. Skill sets can be learned along the way for those who are humble enough and those who are hungry enough. But a personality may be difficult to change. Pride is not easy to be put down, and humility is difficult to harness. So, all startup founders, till the next episode of Old Chang Chats, where we learn from history to chart our own future. This is Old Chang, and goodbye.